jealous. This is inside. But it is going to have a dramatic effect, and we'll see this, on what does come out from us. This aspect of spiritual love, love is not jealous, goes completely unnoticed. No one draws attention to it. It's much like, in the concept, it's like good manners. If you do have good manners, you don't blow a horn about your manners, you just have good manners at the table in life, no one ever says a word about it. But if you have bad manners, everyone talks about it. If you have bad manners, everyone sees it and knows it. Good manners, nobody even notices it. If we are not jealous, if our love is not jealous, no one notices it. People don't think about it. But if you are jealous, they know it immediately, and they see it. So this is a silent witness as far as the world is concerned. The impact of love, me and not being jealous, inside of our souls. It's a silent witness. It produces what is not there. And what is not there is the impact of jealousy. Because when jealousy is there, everyone notices it and knows it and judges it. As we're going to see in a few minutes, no one desires to be like a jealous person. Jealous person is very ugly. So the impact that we're looking at now is inside of our souls. It is going to create an environment that is going to manifest itself with another overt one. The inside, love is not jealous. The overt side is going to be, which we will cover next, love boasts not, or love does not boast of what it may have. But right now we're looking at love is not jealous. Spiritual love that the Holy Spirit gives is not jealous. It is a characteristic of this love not to be jealous. We are in the midst of Roman numeral 1. The nature of jealousy, the nature of the enemy of envy or jealousy, what's its nature? Why spiritual love is not this? Why spiritual love sets this out? What is it about jealousy that repulses God's love as it flows through us is what we're in the midst of looking at. And we have taken up in reference to what others have, spiritual love is not jealous or envious. In other words, it does not envy what others have, and we looked at some passages. We looked at the definition and description of jealousy. We noted the source of jealousy, envy. And the source, again, is our flesh self. It is, if you recall, it is the immune system of the flesh self. Flesh self feels threatened, and the T cells of jealousy come forward. So the source is the flesh, and it is the protection of the self that we are jealous. So when we do have jealousy in our souls, it lets us know we're in the flesh. There are many things that we've covered, Satan's lies, that lets us know that we're in the flesh. Here's another one. Then we saw jealousy and envy recognizes inequalities. Jealousy and envy recognizes inequalities. Inequalities, spiritual inequalities of spiritual gifts. Spiritual inequalities, spiritual maturity. Spiritual inequalities that we went through are the physical inequalities, IQ, beauty, intelligence, wealth, friends, family, social life. Spiritual love does not recognize these, but jealousy recognizes it's based on the fact of inequalities. And therefore, this is why love is going to reject it. We look at the syndrome. In fact, that's where we are now. The syndrome of jealousy. Or, if you please, a life deficit of spiritual love. What does a life look like that is deficit of spiritual love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, a life without love. You can do a lot of wonderful things, but if there is no love, you say nothing, you are nothing, you do nothing. That's a life without love. You can be a deacon, a preacher, hard worker, give lots of money, know all the doctrine in the Bible. Boy, you just know the Bible backwards and forwards. But if you do not have love, you are nothing. Well, tonight we take a look at the idea of the syndrome of jealousy. And the syndrome of jealousy, in other words, what it looks like and how it manifests itself in our life. So if there is no spiritual love, life without love, this is what you have, the syndrome of jealousy or envy. And so it's a life deficient of love. This is what you can expect to have. Part one, how jealousy or envy functions. How it functions is really remarkable. It is one of the most powerful and destructive of sins in the mind, in the soul, yet it's one of the most foolish. Now, we spent time on this, so I'm going to move on, but just to bring us, we got through point one last week. We went into the seven-headed dragon in our soul, and we saw the seven-headed dragon of fear, jealousy, anger, bitterness, these things that we have in our soul, and how we cast it down into the deep. But we did cover this point one, and how foolish the jealousy and envy are. You know that God is in control. You might even be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that there are inequalities in the world, and everything's fine. Then you go into the church, you walk out of your house, whatever the case may be, and you see the inequality, and it shoots right through you. It shoots right through you that quickly. It is one of the most foolish of all of the sins that we have. And it can come from so many different things, and we made just a simple little list. It can be as simple getting ready for the seasons we're going into. A friend is invited to a party that you're not. A friend loses weight and you don't. A friend is just happy. A friend has this and that or whatever it might be. And jealousy just shoots right through you and just interrupts your whole day. Doesn't bother the other person. This is one of the reasons it's so foolish. Does not affect the other person one bit. Tearing you up. Tearing you up inside doesn't bother anybody else. But it's destroying you. They have done nothing to you. See, we can talk about anger. And we can make a case anger is foolish. But at least we can understand anger. They've done something to you. They've hurt you in some way. They've let you down or whatever the case may be. But jealousy, they've done nothing to you. Nobody has done anything to you. They most likely are not even aware of your agony. You're jealous of someone in church. You're jealous because of what they have. You're jealous because of their spiritual gifts. You're jealous because of their friends. They have no idea that you're jealous in the spiritual realm. And they have not flaunted it. They've not made a big deal about it. But it destroys your spiritual life. Point two. Very quickly, where does all of this come from? It comes from the flesh. It comes from the old man, the carnal self, the flesh self. It is the nature in man, here it is now, it is the nature of the flesh man to be superior, to be better, to have the advantage in life. And the moment that self sees that someone else is happy, someone else has some advantage, self rises up inside and feels threatened. And it is from this old self that we are actually opposed to the prosperity of others. We're even opposed to their happiness. We're opposed to their husband, their wife, their marriage, their life, anything. You lose, just imagine this, you lose your happiness because someone else is happy. That's how horrible this thing is. You lose your happiness because someone else is happy. You become jealous because someone else has something that threatens you. They have something, whatever it is, and it threatens you. Because you think that because they have something, it is, you think that because they have something, they are superior. They are superior to you. That's why they've got it. And that's why the flesh self feels so threatened. They do not deserve to be superior to you. They are not better than you. They are not all of those things, and you know it, and yet they have it. Or they accomplished it. And the self can't handle that. Self just cannot handle that. Almost all of the sins have some pleasure. Almost all of the sins have some pleasure associated to them. Some temporary feeding of self. Jealousy does not. Jealousy does not. Take anger. How could that be true of anger? Do you know there are people who really get off on being angry? They really do. They just, boy, it's a power thing. We watch movies like something like George Patton and his anger. And we can even envy that kind of anger. But not jealousy. There is absolutely no pleasure to the person himself. But almost any other sin that we can talk about, there is a pleasure in it. There is no pleasure whatsoever in jealousy or envy. And that's why, people, if there's no pleasure in it, that's why spiritual love is going to block it out. Because spiritual love is pleasurable. So it's going to block out anything that is unpleasurable. There is no pleasure in jealousy. Only destruction of self. There is not even the pleasure at hurting the object of your jealousy. Judas could not enjoy one cent of what he earned. You can't even enjoy the hurting if it's out of jealousy. You can out of anger, but not out of jealousy. Another little principle under point two. No one admits to jealousy. No one admits to it. The most difficult thing to admit, to confess, to acknowledge. It is so base and petty that no one likes to admit that they are jealous. To do so would only serve to further praise the object of their jealousy. And so no one's going to admit it. And finally, the third little principle under point two. No one ever envies an envious person. No one ever envies an envious person. You might even envy the way some people do anger. Gosh, I could get angry like Patton. Oh, when he got angry, man, everybody moved and did what he wanted done, and man, it was dramatic. That was cool. No one ever envies an envious person. No one is ever jealous of a jealous person. Okay? Point three. Jealousy causes you, the believer, to feel threatened by the prosperity of others, by what others have or what you think they might have. You see what they have and self feels threatened, then there is resentment that they have it and you don't. Then hate moves in. What I'm showing you here is that jealousy leads to so many other things that are happening in your soul. So many other things begin to happen in your soul. You become jealous. Your jealousy becomes anger, and that turns into hate. And just your whole soul becomes, people, so distorted, it destroys you. Jealousy is like a fire that'll just destroy your whole being. Four. Then comes, and this is important, dissatisfaction with what you do have. Dissatisfaction with what God has given you. Dissatisfaction with who you are. You are no longer content in Christ. You are no longer content with who you are in Christ. Our study dealing with depression, or stress, anxiety, depression, Satan's lie, my self-worth equals my performance, plus others' opinion of me. It's a lie, but it's all through the Bible. What does God say? God says your self-worth is based upon the performance of my Son, Jesus Christ. Your self-worth is based upon my opinion of you, and what is God's opinion of you? You are in the beloved, therefore you are loved. You are worthy of love. But what I want you to see about jealousy here, you're no longer content with who you are in Christ. Because of jealousy and envy, you're not satisfied. You don't like your house. God forbid you don't like. It's something you start looking at your own husband, your own wife, and you start resenting them. You look at your children, and you start resenting them. You look at, and people do this. This is how powerful jealousy is. You look at what others have, and you become disappointed and discouraged and dissatisfied. You look at others, and you look at yourself, and you're dissatisfied. Satisfied of who you are, what you have. The strongest way I know how to word this, you're no longer content with who you are in Christ. So what this has done is just wiped you out. And you're definitely going to go then into Satan's lie. You're definitely going to quickly move into Satan's lie of my self-worth is my performance, plus others' opinion of me, and right now others are being more praised, and opinions are better of them, and their performance is better, and now you're really down. And when we get into that study, I'm going to show you what happens. There are a lot of different ways people handle when you're not satisfied with who you are in Christ. When you're in the performance system, we're going to study. Part of the study will be a list of what people do, how some people won't even try now. They run and hide, as it were, because they're afraid of not performing. Because if they try to perform and fail, then that's their self-worth. So the best thing is, don't try. If I don't try, I won't fail, and I won't have to face that. So there are a lot of things that are going to happen here, but this is where one of those places begins. We're dissatisfied. We're not content with who we are in Jesus Christ. So this becomes very important in regard to ourselves and in regard to our study of Satan's lie and being who you are in Christ. The environment of jealousy fills the local church at Corinth. It has so many divisions, factions, strife, competition. This is the enslavement. This is the environment, people, of jealousy or envy. They were jealous of each other's spiritual gifts. They made a big deal about spiritual gifts. Big deal about it. And they had so many divisions in Corinth, in a local assembly. They were just jealous of this person. They had the gift of tongues, and this guy had the gift of pastor, and this guy had the gift of interpretation, and this guy had this. And everybody was envious of those big gifts. And it started splitting the church and dividing the church, and it was just the church of Corinth was in a horrible, horrible mess. It came from jealousy, being jealous. This is the environment, people, of jealousy, division, factions, strife, competition. This is becomes one of the great problems in the soul and in the environment. You become jealous. And a lot of things happen when you become dissatisfied with who you are, your part in the body of Christ. We'll be doing a lot on that one in our special. Point three. Instead of sharing others' happiness, instead of being happy for them, your soul becomes troubled. You can't even join in the happiness with your friends. Yesterday they were your friend. but something happened. Something happened with them. Maybe they lost weight. Maybe they fallen in love. Going to get married. Maybe they came into a better job. You can't share their happiness because of jealousy or envy. You make excuses that to be away. You don't even want to be with them. Yesterday you wanted to be with them, now you don't want to be with them. Because why? You're jealous, envious of what they have. And it leads to the point you don't even want to be in the local assembly. This thing becomes so powerful and so damaging to the Christian life. Point six. Obviously, we're not going to have time to study a multitude of occurrences of jealousy and how it works throughout the Bible. But let's turn to Esther. Let's turn to Esther, the powerful one in the Scriptures. If you know where Job is, you can find Esther. Just go backwards from Job. You can find Psalms, you can find Job. If you find Job, you can find Esther. Right before Job. Esther chapter 5. Esther's going to be one of those books that we're going to study some night, hopefully in the beginning of the year. I want to start another meeting, and right now, there's going to be James and I, but we're opening up to anybody who wants to come. But what we're going to do, we're going to go through books of the Bible, and we're just going to sit and read. I'm not going to do a great deal of preparation. I'll do a little bit. I'll read through it in the original text and just kind of fill things out, but I'm not going to prepare. And Esther's going to be one of them, because Esther is a powerful, powerful book. A lot of people have problems with Esther because the Lord's name isn't even in here. The whole book, his name's not there. And yet, for the eye that will see, this whole thing is about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And there's just so many powerful things in it. And to appreciate in regard to the whole book and who all the players are in Esther and everything that is going on. It's about the Greek king, and his wife would not dance, and we've got to study that. And Esther came forward as being the new queen, and she was beautiful and lovely and very appealing to the king's eyes, and so she became the favorite of the king. And now let's look at chapter 5. And take a look now at Esther 5. The Persian king is Xerxes, and Esther is a Jew born in Persia, and she has a Persian name, Esther. And Esther means star or heavenly body, and so it has a lot of effects in regard to her name, beautiful name. Then there is Haman, H-A-M-A-N. He's Persian. He's what we would call the Secretary of State. He's a very close friend and advisor of the king. He has great power and great wealth. And he hates Jews. And Jews are the captives in the land. So we have Haman. And he hates Jews. In chapter 5, Esther comes to the king on behalf of the Jews. And she throws a royal banquet for the king. Okay, you got the picture? And Haman is invited. Haman is invited. Okay, let's pick it up now, the story, in verse 8. Verse 8. Well, to kind of get a feel of what verse 5, then the king said, well, let's read verse 1. Let me read it quickly. Now it came about on the third day that Esther, third day, three, cross. Always keep things in mind of setting up something you want to feel going on. That Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. and the king was sitting on the royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance of the palace. Women were not allowed to enter the throne room unless invited. And it happened when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight, that is, favor to come into the court. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter, which was in his hand. All this has so much importance, but just superficially, this means you can come in. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther, and what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom, it will be given to you." Wow. See, one of the things that love will do, love gives. I want you to be in the realm of God the Father and Jesus Christ. What God the Father is going to give to his love, Jesus Christ. Next it said, "If it please the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther desires." So the king and Haman came to the banquet which Esther had prepared. And as they drank their wine at the banquet, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? For it shall be granted to you. What is your request? Even half of the kingdom, it shall be done." So Esther answered and said, "My petition and my request is..." Okay, verse 8 now. Okay, here's the request. "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and do what I request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet which I shall prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king says." Okay, now verse 9. God quickly happiness falls. Then Haman went out that day glad and pleased of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai, this is a Jew taking care of Esther, in the king's gate, and that he did not stand up or tremble before him, Haman was filled with anger against Mordecai. People, there's so much here, but do you see how fast pseudo happiness can go away? How fast pseudo happiness. He went from being very pleased, glad and pleased, two words, to filled with anger. That's how quickly this thing can go. Now, Haman controlled himself, however, went to his house and sent for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches and the number of his sons. Haman's one of those kind of people you're around, he's going to tell you how great he is. I mean, let me tell you about all my riches, and tell you about all my children, and every instance where the king had magnified or exalted him, and how he had promoted him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman also said, "Even Esther the queen, let no one but me come with the king to the banquet which he has prepared, and tomorrow also I am invited by her with the king." So he's back to being very happy. Now look at verse 13. "Yet all of this does not satisfy me. Every time I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate." Now we know from what's going on that he is filled with the jealousy of Mordecai. Then Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends said to him, "Have a gallows 50 cubits high made, and in the morning ask the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go joyfully with the king to the banquet." And the advice pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. So much here about his friends, his helpers, and all. Now he's going to have a gallows built, and he's going to have a gallows built out of his jealousy. He's going to have a gallows built for Mordecai. Okay. The gallows was built by Satan for whom? Jesus Christ. What's going to happen at the cross, though? What's going to happen at the cross is Satan's going to be taken down. Satan's going to die. And what's going to happen in Esther is that Mordecai will not be put on the cross, but Haman. Haman is going to die on the cross. When Jesus Christ died, it was really Satan who was taken down in the spiritual warfare. But all of that came out of jealousy. All that came out of jealousy. Okay, point seven. Jealousy, when it penetrates and enters into your spiritual life, enters into your soul, you do not desire to love as Christ loved. You do not desire to love others. You do not desire to be in the plan of God. You even, get this down now, you even reject the study of Scripture out of jealousy and envy. You even reject it. And it happens to believers all the time. I'll give you the passage and then let's just read Acts chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 44 and 45. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 13. The book of Acts is just that. It's the Acts of the first century. You don't build any real doctrine out of Acts. In fact, it's really Acts is really the events from 30 A.D. to toward the end of the century. And you kind of plug in where Paul and the books of the Bible are written, the New Testament and all, are written in this realm. Now we come to Acts chapter 13. Let's read verse 44 of Acts 13. 44 and 45. 44, and the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. Technical for the gospel. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. Filled with jealousy. And began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Now, they got up. They were going to go listen to Paul. They were going to go listen to the teaching of the gospel of this man Jesus. They were going to hear all of these things, and they walked in and they saw the crowd. And when they saw the crowd, jealousy shot through them, and they couldn't even take in the scriptures. People, this is how jealousy works. You don't want to be in the plan of God. You don't even want His Word. You don't even want to study the scriptures because of jealousy. 8. Jealousy breaks in and you have no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You have no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Jealousy, envy, break fellowship. You do not desire the Holy Spirit. You do not desire the plan of God. You do not desire. See, here's a great problem. This is your only hope. When you're filled with jealousy, your only real hope is not self-control like Haman. Your only real hope is to be in the power of the Spirit, to get back into His power so He can pour in love. You don't work on not being jealous. You'll lose. Or what you'll do, you'll cast it down into the deep, and it'll raise its ugly head as stress, anxiety, and maybe even depression. It'll combine with anger and all these things, and you suppress it. But we don't want to suppress it. We want to deal with it. And the only hope that we have is to get into the power of the Spirit, because if you don't work on jealousy, what you do is you get spiritual love, because spiritual love will not allow jealousy. So many preachers have all these ways in which you work on not being jealous. You learn Bible doctrine, you learn these techniques, and you learn this, and you study that, and you think Bible doctrine, and you work at it, and you'll be jealous of people. That's a lie. The only way you're going to be jealous is to have in your soul that which is not jealous by nature, spiritual love. If you have spiritual love in you, it will not allow jealousy. It will not allow. That's why faith is the battle. Because jealousy eats and burns inside your soul. You don't even want the Holy Spirit. You don't want anything. You are angry. Your self-esteem from your self-worth and performance and others are doing better. And all of this stuff, you don't even want it. It's the very thing you need, and you don't even want it because of the power of jealousy. Going on. Jealousy destroys your faith. And by faith I mean walking by faith. You no longer trust God. You no longer content in who you are in Christ, and you no longer trust God to supply your needs. You no longer desire to walk by faith. Because to walk by faith means, what faith does is, whatever you do, God, you're God and I trust you. You gave them this reward. You gave them this promotion. You gave them whatever it is that you're jealous about. You didn't give it to me. What faith says is, you're God. I don't understand it, but I trust you. And I'm going to continue walking by faith. But what jealousy and envy, people, it doesn't even want to have the faith. It does not want that. It does not want the plan of God. So it doesn't want, actually, maybe what I should have done was have this one be the first one, even before the Scriptures and before the fellowship of the Spirit. Because what jealousy does, it just cuts right through and cuts off your faith. I don't even want to walk by faith. I don't want to. So I say, it's the battle, especially when we're in turmoil. It is the battle. Am I going to set this aside and walk by faith? If I do, then I will no longer be jealous of that person. And I want to be jealous. I want to be angry. I want this. And so it just cuts off any desire to even trust the Lord, to be satisfied with what the Lord gives. He has given as your husband and your wife and your finances and your job and your children and your whatever it is that we're jealous about, your spiritual gift, where you are. It's what faith will do. It's what trusting God will do. I trust you and thank you for what I have. Content with who we are in Christ. Content with what he says about us. And finally, and we'll end with point 10, there is no hope. There is no hope in jealousy. There is no hope. There is no hope of any advantage. There is no hope that things are going to work out where you get everything better. All hope now about life is gone, because you're going to stay in Satan's lie of the performance trap. And there's just no hope. They've got it all. They've got the gift. They've got the money. They've got the children. They've got their husband. They've got the wife. They've got the spiritual blessing, maybe a spiritual gift. They've got whatever it is. And poor me, I don't have it. There's just no hope. And this takes you down into that depression or stress, anxiety, and depression. There's no hope in jealousy, only destruction. This is why we have to get back and move into who we are in Christ, move back into that position. Okay, that takes care of F. Next week we'll start with G, and the environment of jealousy outside of self. What the world sees. What the world sees. Okay. Let's, any questions while we cover? Okay. Closing a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is the nature of our flesh self since the fall. They want to be so protective of self. Individually and even jointly, Heavenly Father, this is why the Tower of Babel was built. We're going to do everything we can to protect the flesh self. A part of that protecting the flesh self, Heavenly Father, is the enemy of jealousy and envy. It rips right through our souls, right through our lives, destroying our spiritual life, destroying spiritual love, destroying friendships, destroying so much in our lives, destroying our being content of who we are in Jesus Christ. How simple is this solution? Not dramatic, not do and do, do and do, not learn a lot, not work hard, not learn lots of scripture. Just walk in your spirit by faith and let Him fill our soul with your love. Love is the solution to jealousy, your love, the love of your spirit. And therein lies the great battle. Father, we praise you for the God that you are. You make these solutions to our flesh nature so simple. They're not easy sometimes to walk by faith, but it's such a simple answer. Just trust you. Just trust your spirit. And allow Him to pour in this love. And miraculous things happen in our soul. We become content with who we are in Christ. And there is no place for stress, anxiety, or depression. Anger, bitterness. There's just no place for it where love is. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.